Son, never stop learning.
A Viking warlord named Ole seized a city on a great river in 882 and declared it the capital of his realm. That city was Kiev. That realm became Kievan Rus, one of the most consequential early states in European history. And here is the part that often surprises people, David. The story of Ukraine does not begin with Russia. It begins here, on the Dnieper River, centuries before Moscow existed as a political force. Kiev's position on the Dnieper was not accidental. The river was the spine of a trade route connecting the Baltic world to Byzantium, a corridor of commerce and culture that made Kiev rich and cosmopolitan. The ruling Varangian elite, originally Norse in origin, gradually adopted Slavic language and customs. That means the identity of Kievan Rus was always a fusion, not a fixed ethnic category. By the end of the 10th century, the Kievan domain stretched from the Ukrainian steppe northward toward Lake Ladoga and the upper Volga basin. Then came the decision that changed everything. In 988, Prince Volodymyr the Great adopted Christianity of the Byzantine Rite. This was not merely a religious conversion. It tied Kievan Rus to the cultural and intellectual world of Byzantium, reshaping law, art, and political legitimacy for generations. Think of it like a software update that rewired the entire operating system of a civilization. Under Yaroslav the Wise in the 11th century, Kiev reached its political and cultural peak. The Cathedral of St. Sophia rose in the city. A legal code called the Ruskaya Pravda took shape. Dynastic marriages linked Kiev's ruling family to royal houses across Europe. Kievan Rus was not a centralized nation-state. It was a loose federation of principalities, but it was unmistakably a major European power. Now the collapse came fast, and it came hard. The Mongol conquest in the 13th century ended Kiev's dominance decisively. The city was devastated. Political gravity shifted. Yet the traditions of the Rus realm did not vanish entirely. The Principality of Galicia-Volhynia preserved key political and cultural continuities before its territories were eventually absorbed by Poland and Lithuania. The key idea here is resilience through fragmentation. Ukrainian identity survived not because one state held firm, but because the cultural memory of Kievan Rus persisted across different political containers. Out of that fractured landscape, something new and remarkable emerged. In the 15th century, a distinct group appeared on Ukraine's southern steppe frontier, the Cossacks. The word itself comes from a Turkic term, meaning something close to free person or unattached warrior. That etymology matters. The Cossacks were not a single ethnic group. They were peasants fleeing serfdom, frontier settlers, adventurers, and nobles, united by a shared culture of freedom and military life. Early Cossacks combined raiding and warfare with hunting, fishing, and beekeeping on the open steppe. By the mid-16th century, their communities had developed something genuinely unusual for the era. A general assembly called the Rada, and elected officers led by a hetman. The Zaporizhian Sich, located beyond the Dnieper Rapids, became their principal military and political center. This was proto-democratic governance on the frontier, David, at a time when most of Europe was organized around hereditary monarchy and rigid hierarchy. In 1648, the Cossack leader Bohdan Khmelnytsky launched an uprising that established a Cossack-led polity known as the Hetmanate. It was a defining assertion of Ukrainian political agency. Then came the 1654 Pereyaslav Agreement with Moscow, a contested alliance that began a new political relationship and, over time, contributed to Moscow's growing control over Ukrainian territory. The Cossacks sought a partner. They got a slow-moving absorption. Remember this, David. Ukraine's identity was never invented by a modern state or a political movement. It was built across centuries, from the Byzantine-linked grandeur of Kievan Rus, through the legal traditions of the Ruskaya Pravda, to the radical frontier democracy of the Zaporozhian Cossacks. The takeaway is this: Ukraine's national character, its attachment to freedom, elected leadership, and communal self-determination has deep medieval and early modern roots. That character was not borrowed, it was earned, tested, and preserved across conquest, fragmentation, and foreign domination.